And then if we go back further, your grandfather, great-grandfather, gets his allotment. He happens to be of Creek descent, so he gets his allotment. Where is it? Right there.
Right there.
So there are all these things that we see in our lives. We look back. That happened. That had to happen. Mm-hmm. We didn't understand at the moment why it did, but that had to happen. And so that's this story that we're telling here today. And the luck of the draw in Glenpool. But then the kind of mind that wanted to learn business, wanted to learn art, wanted to learn ranching. He had that inquisitive brain that brought this all together. And there are those who could have gotten that and said, well, I'm a playboy.
Yeah.
I'm just flying around to Paris and I'm going to go to all these places. And he didn't do that. When he went to Paris, he went there to learn about art.
You know, he didn't do it for himself. He did it for the world.
So he got to be a fly-around playboy in a different sense.
Yes, right. With purpose.
With purpose.
Yes. Yes.
You know, he wanted to put this together for people to come to Tulsa to see it because he loved Tulsa. And, you know, that's the great thing about it, the location. Gilchrist wouldn't be Gilchrist anywhere else.
Mm-mm. No.
That's him at 15 right there at the top.
We have pictures in our slideshow that will include this, Thomas Gilchrist at age 15. I hadn't heard that. You said he loved Tulsa. Would you all agree? He really liked it there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can read a lot about him. It was those hills right there, the Osage Hills.
That's Black Dog Township.
That's exactly right. That's where he wanted to be. That was his view, his vision, where he wanted everything to be because that's where he felt comfortable at.
There are two great views from up there. And in the museum, as you look west, that great, great view of hills and trees. It's just beautiful. And then from his own house, he looks down on some hills, but there he sees the skyline of Tulsa.
City of Tulsa,
So he had the best of both worlds where he was.
Yep.
So maybe we've already said that's the way he should be remembered.
Yes. You know, he has to be remembered as a benefactor to the city of Tulsa and to the world.
He was somebody that really cherished his past and Native American and Western art and wanted it to continue on for everybody else to understand and enjoy it. And that's what he did. He collected and set it up where it could still be viewed and enjoyed by others for years and years.
Steve?
Like I said, it's the greatest place in the world. And the one thing about Gilchrist, as far as history goes, compared to, say, a history of the Civil War, where you're seeing all the Civil War statues being taken down, it's not that way with Western art. It tells a story of how America evolved. And I hope it's there forever for people to see.
Those artists that traveled around through the West actually painting what they saw.
I'm thinking of Thomas Moran right now, how he came out to the West.
Catlin, Lay, all those, they traveled and actually painted what they saw, not just an image in their mind that they thought it might have looked like. They actually saw that and they painted it, and there it is on canvas and oil for everybody to see.
And then they went back east and showed, this is what's out there, folks.
Yep.
And it tells a story.
Amazing that they went out to the reservations and painted the Indians and everything just as it was there. In real life, not just
an image in your head, but the real thing.
So then Thomas comes along and says, here, we're going to protect that history. Yeah. So, guys, thank you so much. We were talking so freely last night about stories. I'm hoping that we brought these stories out today. I don't know if we did or not.
Not all. I'll give you another one right now.
Okay.
We were discussing Willard Stone. How Granddad decided to give me this beam, I don't know. But this is a beam out of Fort Sill. It's made out of cherry wood. And how long is that beam down there?
4 or 5 feet long.
4 or 5 foot, and it'd be about 8 by 8.
All right. You say a beam, for those that don't understand, would be in the ceiling of a building.
It's a floor joist.
Floor joist. Yeah. Okay.
Willard identified it as being cherry wood, and we're maintaining it. One of these days, maybe there will be a wood carver in our family.
Still got spiking.
Mm-hmm.
And now they say that maybe the ghost that wanders the halls of the museum is the ghost of Thomas Gilchrist.
I don't know about ghost or anything like that, but if he never went anywhere but Tulsa, that'd probably be where he'd be, right there, wandering around looking at it. You know,
one of his favorite spots was out in front of the museum. There's a huge oak tree there. He'd like to go out there in the evenings and watch the sunset.
Right there where Charles Banks Wilson did the portrait of him at, by that big tree right in front.
I don't have it here. It's at the house. I've got some taxidermy work of two cedar waxwing birds. Mm-hmm. Great-granddad fed the birds. And these two cedar waxwings kept hogging the bird feed. So we shot them with a BB gun and had them mounted under glass. And it looks like a picture. It's bubbled out with these two cedar waxwing birds in it. And he loved the birds so much, he wanted to preserve them, but he had to kill them because they wouldn't let the other birds eat.
Yeah.
And it's hanging in my house.
And he killed more than one squirrel at that feeder because they would get in there and run the birds off.
So he'd sit there with a BB gun?
When I was there, he had a .22 to keep squirrels away. Were you aware that he had an office in Paris, France? He opened an office in Paris, France to get investors in the oil company from Europe in order to build the company and make the money for the collecting. One of the reasons I didn't see Granddad a lot in my younger years, because when the war ended, he spent a lot of time in Europe gathering art.
After World War II was over.
Yes. He gathered a lot of art over there earlier, but when the war ended, he went over there and tried to save art that he'd found over there.
Some of that is still housed in the basement of the museum, and some of it was resold to buy the art he wanted here.
You know, we were talking about the statues being torn down, the Confederate.
Yes.
You know, I find it rather stupid. What they're doing is doing away with history. Those statues represent a time in our history that, depending on how you look at it, may or may not have been a good time. There is a picture of Lee, a painting of Lee, down in the stacks, and it has never been displayed.
A picture of Robert E. Lee in the stacks of the Gilcrease Museum that's never been displayed.
Never been displayed. There's several paintings in the stacks that have never been displayed. Because of this latest bond issue and the construction they're going to do, I'm quite sure that a lot of them haven't been displayed will be put on display.
Right. Well, guys, have we done it?
I think we're pretty close to being wore out.
Have I talked you out? Have you given me everything?
That's a wrap.
Is that how you're going to say it?
Well, I want to thank you for talking to me.
More than welcome.
And to the world, because this is the World Wide Web. Over 20 countries come in and listen to our voicesofoklahoma.com. So to you, Steve, and to Gene, and to the elder Gene, and to Darlene, thank you, all of you. We had a great time last evening looking at pictures, which I'm going to display. So thank you. This was an enormous, wonderful experience for me. I appreciate it very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, John.
We enjoyed it, John. Thank you.